Today's second reading is from the epistle, a fancy church word that means letter, from Paul of Tarsus to his wealthy friend Philemon, the host of a home church in the city of Colossae. Now, this is a pretty amazing letter, if you really look at it, and it deserves our specific attention this morning because of its deep understanding of forgiveness and in spite of its language of slavery. Now, I hope I'm not telling tales out of preaching school to my fellow preachers that are here, but let me let you in on a little preacher secret. Preachers, through our sermons, try to include three things in our sermons. A bit of context on the scripture from the historical record, those things that we know with some certainty. We also may, humanly, I think, try to gloss over those things that we maybe aren't as sure of or that are uncertainties or unknowns. And we usually try to include or close with whatever lesson might be applicable to our modern lives here in the 21st century. So let me show you what I mean in my sermon this morning. So let's begin with what we can say with certainty about this, the shortest epistle. This is almost the entire text of a letter written by an elderly Paul to adult converts and leaders, Philemon, Apphia, Archippus, and other members of a home church. We think there were probably about 30 people in this home church. Onesimus, a slave of Philemon's, has run away with some stolen property or money that belonged to Philemon and has made his way to an imprisoned Paul. While visiting Paul, Onesimus becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, which is the meaning behind the symbolism of the father-son language that Paul refers to Onesimus. We also know that Paul composes a letter on his behalf, pleading for Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to charge whatever was stolen to Paul's personal account, which request is written in Paul's own hand. We also see that though he could, Paul doesn't command or use his authority to lord it over Philemon to do his duty. Instead, Paul appeals on the basis of love, asking Philemon, Paul's partner and brother in Christ, to voluntarily and without force welcome Onesimus back, no longer as a slave who stole from him, but as a beloved brother. Now, that's a pretty amazing paragraph, actually, because number one, anyone in that era could become a slave. Doesn't matter where you were born, to whom you were born, what you did before that, anyone could become a slave in the Roman Empire. Roughly 35 to 40% of the population at any given time were held in slavery. Two, one never enslaved one's brother. That's pretty amazing. And number three, which is the most amazing to me of all, Paul is in prison. You think when he'd be writing this letter to his brother Philemon, he'd ask him to bake a cake with a file in it. Instead, he makes no mention of desiring freedom for himself, but he pleads instead for the freedom of a known thief and a runaway slave. Amazing. So let's look at the unknowns in this short passage. To begin with, we're not sure where Paul was imprisoned. Some say Rome, bless you, sweet pea. Some say Ephesus, some say Caesarea. We're also not sure when it was written. It could have been anywhere from 55 to 62 in the Common Era. We also don't know anything about how or why Onesimus chose to make his way to Paul in prison. Doesn't seem like a very good place for a runaway thief to visit, in my opinion. We also don't really understand the language that Paul uses in reference to Onesimus, which is especially vague and open to many different types of interpretation. Does Paul want Philemon to invite Onesimus to join him in the leadership of his home church? Pretty amazing. Does he want him to publicly free him? Forgive him his crime? Set him up with an income? We don't really know what Paul means in the language when it comes to forgiving and welcoming Onesimus back. We also don't know what Paul told Onesimus while he was in conversation with him. Does he tell Onesimus after he goes home and is forgiven to come back to help Paul in prison? We don't have this in the record. These are all big what-ifs. So given that, how do we receive this teaching this morning and integrate its message into our modern lives? Well, firstly, and this is impressive to me, it's a pretty amazing example of rhetoric or the art of persuasion. I mean, here is Paul in prison. Through a written word, he's not even there to kind of express his case personally. He's got to do it in writing. To persuade Philemon to forgive and forget the thief of a runaway slave. And not only that, but to welcome said thief back as a beloved brother, remember the significance of being a brother, into their small home church community, and to charge any misdeeds or amount owed to Paul's own account. So how does Paul do this? What does he use in the art of persuasion? Well, he starts out by offering grace and peace and prayers of thankfulness for Philemon and his renowned faith, reminding him of the personal connection, love, and joy he holds for him, his dear friend and co-worker, his partner, his brother. Paul speaks of love several times in this very short letter, of his own heart, of a belovedness, of refreshing Paul's heart in Christ. Well, I think we could all do with a little more tenderness, a little more belovedness or refreshment in Christ. And though he pleads for Philemon to voluntarily choose to forgive Onesimus, he uses words of authority like command you to do your duty and confident of your obedience. I think Paul is walking a fine line here between appealing as a brother and yet inhabiting his apostolic authority. One of the ways he walks this fine line is by appealing to the community and its leaders as well. Did you notice that Paul sent this letter not privately to Philemon, but publicly to Apphia and Archippus, indeed to all the members of the home church? Now, why would he do that? One gets the impression that Paul is calling all the believers, not only Philemon, but all the members of this small community, to walk together in tender love and faithfulness when they welcome Onesimus back. Remember, they're all going to welcome Onesimus back. And I have to say, who wouldn't want to have such a strong and loving connection to a community built on forgiveness and tenderness? We can hear how Paul cherishes Philemon and Onesimus and the entire community, giving thanks for them through their love, which refreshes his heart in Christ. Now, Paul in this letter, it's a beautiful example of a pastor's heart, this tenderness that he shows in this letter, amazing, really, given the time. And I have to tell you, as your pastor, it resonated with me. The tenderness and the belovedness that Paul feels for them is the same feelings that I feel for you. It's nice to come home. I've been traveling for a while and worshiping with strange different faiths and communities, and it's nice to see some familiar beloved faces. So I missed you. It's nice to be home. And I can see how Paul would want to write in these letters to express his heart and his faith and the tenderness. So I wonder, can we, you and I, members of this, our modern community, relate to Paul's letter to Philemon? Can we relate to Philemon, legally in the right, yet called by love to forgive? Because make no mistake, Philemon knew forgiveness had the power to change lives for both the wronged and the forgiven, because he had learned about that forgiveness after hearing the story of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Can we relate to the runaway thief on the run from his mistakes? Now, something that we can infer from the reading, given that Onesimus walked, it must have taken him days to get to Paul in prison. And during that long walk, he had time to reconsider and just keep on going, but he doesn't. I think he wanted to lay his burdens down, and God led him to seek Paul of Tarsus, imprisoned for the gospel, yet set free by faith and love. So how about Paul of Tarsus, the apostle? Can we relate to this Paul? In the tenderness of love and through the power of his belief, Paul took the cost of another's sins upon himself, interceding, calling for forgiveness. It reminds me of the words uttered from the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." The power of forgiveness. So as Paul began his letter, let me close with the same words. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And may all God's people say, Amen.